What's up, everybody? It's your boy DQD Weezy Dwayne.
I feel like you just said welcome aboard.
I did. So I made him re-record it because I said, "What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard." I'm not on the aircraft right now. You've tuned into the Affairs of the Heart podcast with your boy D Weezy DQ Dwayne Queen and Aaron.
Aaron, so debonair.
So this is
on episode, this podcast.
On this podcast, he is.
I have to keep saying on this podcast. Right.
So debonair, but on this podcast, he is Aaron all day long.
Aaron.
Aaron all day. That's what I'm going to call you.
Someone used to call me that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Aaron all day.
Oh, no. Actually, my old cohort's name was Mahalo all day.
Huh. So we're going to call you Aaron all day. Done and done.
She's going to love that when she hears this.
We are episode number 6 in.
And we have reached a milestone today.
We did.
We have reached 1,003 streams.
As of today, we've reached 1,003 streams. Thank you to everybody who takes the time and opportunity to like, subscribe, share, and to be notified when we have new podcasts come out. So thank you guys.
And also thank you for joining our emailing list on the website.
SoDebonair.com.
So that we can actually send you notifications if you're not getting them. When we post new podcasts. So actually, this has been a learning experience because last week we posted two.
We did two at the same time.
And the one that I posted first, no one listened to it because they thought we only had.
Oh, because of the 30-minute four.
Mark? No. It's the first one I posted on the end that day.
Oh, okay.
They thought it was only one. So I went back because I'm like OCD. I went back because they were not in order, and I reposted it, and now that's over 100 streams.
So people are listening to it now, but it seems like it's a new release. Yeah. So moving forward.
And it's weird because the question that we've been posting, that was the podcast. They should have delivered it to them. So.
Got you. And then our little clips and our little videos are talking about different things. Yes. So we're grateful. Even that video has reached how many views it has reached?
We're like 3,000 right now.
3,000 views. If you haven't seen the video, it's a video where we talk about if being asking your sexual preference is acceptable in the first conversation or the first date of meeting someone.
We're actually going to talk about that today.
Yeah, we'll cover a little bit of it.
And I'm excited about talking about it because it got a little intense during the video.
Aaron and I have different viewpoints as it pertains to
which I did not know
acceptance of that kind of speech and conversation, and not necessarily that we can't ask that question in the first meeting, but more or less, what is the intention behind the question?
But you know what is really dope is that I feel like everywhere I've been, some people have seen that we've been having that conversation.
Well, we've brought it up in conversation. People have brought it up in conversation with us. We've hung out this weekend.
Yes.
We went to a couple of holiday parties, and it has been a topic of conversation. I brought it up in a couple of topics of conversation with friends.
I haven't brought it up to anyone. People just bring it to me.
Well, I've been both.
And so I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. Are you top bottom or are you a burst?
Because they want to know. The people want to know.
Because I want to know before we even start talking.
Yeah. So.
But I've learned some things, though. So before we get into that, how was your week?
Week was good. You know, just work. You know, coming off the high of the birthday situation.
Okay.
And we're just
back. We're not eating cake today.
We're not eating cake today. The cake is gone. unfortunately. You know, we do have, I will shout out my homegirl. She is here with us. And she's going to be our live studio audience that's sitting here. We got Jesse Music in the house. If you want to follow her, look her up. She is an amazing singer, an amazing person altogether. You've probably seen her some of her Bible videos that she posts on Facebook and YouTube. So you can follow her at Jesse Music on Instagram or Jessica Music on Facebook, I believe. You can look her up. I'm sure you've seen her. She's that. If you've seen the video, she has one video that's hilarious where a while ago when Jill Scott did that, they posted that performance of Jill while she's like
giving a head to the microphone.
Yeah, giving a head to the microphone. Okay. So Jessica is the young lady on that did the dual panel where she's like taking notes from Jill and watching her do these acts on the mic. So we're glad to have Jessica in the house. She'll be our live studio audience, so you'll hear her in the background clapping or oohing and eyeing when we say something that she just thinks is interesting. Well, anyway,
question or two.
She might ask a question or two.
I mean, I reached a milestone this week on Twitter.
Did you?
Yes, I had 5,000 followers yesterday.
5,000?
5,000. Now, when we originally started the podcast, I was at 2,000.
Oh.
And I'm officially at 5,000.
Now, how much skin did you have to show to get to
5,000? I didn't show any skin.
None?
None.
I'm not doing something right.
I mean, on that page.
Speaking of your freak Twitter page, someone messaged me and said they found it.
Really?
They did. They listened really? They listened to the podcast, and I'm not going to say who it is.
I want to know who it is.
They listened to the podcast, okay. And they listened to context clues in each of the episodes as we were talking about your freak Twitter page, and they found it, and they messaged me yesterday and said, I found Eric's page.
They showed you the page?
Yes. Okay. They said, I found it, and I said, well, how did you find it? And they went through it. It was like, well, Aaron said this, and then you said this, and this is how I found it.
You said that wasn't a good clue.
They found it.
It was a good clue. I don't know who found it, though.
So the clue, the key to finding Aaron's free Twitter page is listening to the podcast episodes in their entirety.
Who found that page?
I'll tell you off mic.
Now, that's funny.
That is hilarious.
That's funny.
Shout out to the person that found it. They know who
they are. Shout out to you because you have been listening.
All right. So, we're going to hop into it right away because we got a couple of things to cover.
Okay.
So, the first topic tonight, I want to talk about toxic people.
Okay.
And here's a disclaimer to this. Like, I don't think there's any person that can say that they have not been a recipient of toxicity,
right,
or have been the toxic person in a situation, right?
Okay.
So you can't necessarily say that, oh, you know, a lot of people like to play victim. Oh, they did this to me. They did this to me. They did this to me. This is what they did
to me. This will be a conversation because I think that where I'm at now,
mm-hmm,
is going to help people.
Yeah. With that. I think I agree. So I've got a list of 6 different types of toxic people. You can see where you fall into the categories of such. You hop in if you want to comment on any of the topics of toxicity. So the first is the narcissist. The narcissist only cares about themselves, lacks empathy, truly believes they are better than everyone around them. That is a narcissist.
I know a lot about that. That explains someone I know very well.
And again, you know, you can listen to some of these
topics. And he's actually honest about being a narcissist.
Okay. Now, that's an interesting perspective, because if somebody's honest about being a narcissist, that's a problem.
It is, but...
because you know, you're antagonizing. You know that you're doing it.
But I feel like they're on a journey, right?
But how long is that going to have to take until you figure out that that's not fair or right?
I think he's on his way
to
better places.
What do you think that happens to someone that's a narcissist that for them to kind of like get checked?
Life happens and people happen to you where they correct you and they put you in a space where you have to think about that.
Do you think that narcissists are the type of people that receive being checked or received being...
Oh, I don't know about all of them. But I do know about the one that I'm talking about, and he has been very receptive to that now in this space in his life.
I don't know. I don't know that I don't know the person you're talking about. Let me say that. However, I would assume that a narcissist, if they know that they're antagonizing, they know what they're doing. You can't tell me that you don't know what you're doing. You're doing it on purpose.
Sometimes I don't think that they know that they are, but once people call them that and they look it up and they find that that's what they are, I feel like if you're an honest person, you will identify with that. And it's up to you at that point if you're going to make a decision how to handle that.
Okay. But then...
because I think at some point, the person that I'm talking about thought it was like a okay thing. But it started to bite him in the ass.
Do you think that it is acceptable to be a narcissist?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Like, do you think that that is acceptable behavior?
But I do think that it's acceptable for you to acknowledge who you are. So if that's who you are and you're able to tell me that, I have an option to deal with you or not.
Indeed. But then for those that can tell you that's who they are and do nothing about it, that's just their disclaimer is, oh, this is just who I am.
Right. So but you also have an option whether or not to deal with it.
Yeah, you take it or leave it.
Right.
Like, this is who I am, whether you can... But I don't... I've always been a little leery of people that are that headstrong when it comes to their behavior towards others.
Really?
Personally. I've always been leery of people that are just like, I'm not... This is who I am. You're going to deal with it. Da-da-da-da. Like, that's just not... How do you communicate with
There are different levels of that, too, though. So... Because I feel like I'm a person where I am who I am.
But I think the difference between... Like, I wouldn't consider you a narcissist by no means.
I would consider me that either.
I wouldn't because you don't lack empathy.
Yeah.
If I give you a perspective that you can understand, then you empathize with it as opposed to...
I think it's more people that are in leadership where they don't have to have it. What, they empathy? Choose to have empathy or not have it. For me, it's natural for me to have empathy for people.
Well, I think... I mean, I don't necessarily believe that it's just in leadership. I think people choose not to have empathy for people. You can't tell me that there are people that don't have empathy for people at all. You have empathy for someone.
There are people that are like that.
Your parents, your children, your mother.
Some people don't care about none of that.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. Well, you know why I think it's hard for me to believe? Because I have such empathy for people.
Yeah.
But there are
people who, it doesn't matter if you are my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my grandma, my grandpa, they don't have it.
Just don't have the empathy at all.
Period. They don't have it.
That's. It's not that it's hard for me to believe.
It's a dangerous place.
It's just not something I can identify with.
Yeah. But I've met people who are like that. Like, I met people like that. Not even the person I was just talking about, because I don't think he has empathy for people at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I have people who don't have empathy for anything or anybody, period.
Well, I think that's also, it goes to a topic we've talked about before in the podcast where people feel like, fuck people's feelings.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same kind of language.
And see, there's situational narcissists, too.
Mm.
So that's the thing, because I feel like, people could be narcissistic in relationships, but not in their personal lives with their family.
So they can be narcissists with like
relationships. Like I can have a narcissistic attitude towards dating and relationships. But my friends and my family, I won't be like that.
Interesting.
And those people you were talking about last podcast,
yeah.
With that, they're like, I don't owe you nothing.
Interesting. I don't think I've... Yeah, okay. But then now, for me, I would be curious as to know why they are that way. Like, what has made them that way?
Can I guess?
Sure.
Okay.
Because we don't have a narcissist here to confirm or deny, so I don't...
Because it ain't me, but I think because a lot of people... Okay, let me just speak from my own experience. So, let me kind of backtrack a little bit real quick. Someone told me that I talk about my ex a lot, right?
Okay.
But that's my only relationship that I've ever had. So, mm-hmm. I always talk about him. And because he's a big part of my life, period.
Mm-hmm.
We were married for 4 years. So, and I, through my whole 20s, that's who I was with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just turned 36. You know, I am in a new space. But I talk about this because... To me, that's what I base my relationships off of, on what I do want and what I don't want.
Right.
So if I can just say for him, I think that the reason why he was like that was because he'd never seen anything differently. And when I say that, I mean marriage wasn't like a thing in his life where his family were all married. And versus me, that's all I saw was marriage.
Are you talking about your ex?
Yeah.
So
relationship is like a throwaway thing now. It's like I got a new shirt today,
mm-hmm.
but once it gets old and talk and worn out, I'm gonna throw it away.
Analogy.
Because you know I give those. But it was like that for him, and like that was a hard pill for me to swallow. So, because I knew he was like that.
So just to clarify what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
Your ex was not, according to you, he was not a relationship oriented type of person.
Right.
He discarded the relationship because that's all he's ever done or has known.
And it was like a relationship wasn't a permanent thing for him. Like, he's never seen a permanence in a relationship.
Okay.
Because throughout his family, they've never been a permanent thing. If things go wrong, they leave. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was different because I've never even... My mom has six sisters. My dad has six siblings. And they, if they got divorced, they never remarried or even dated again. So when I got into my relationship, to me, it was a permanent thing. Mm-hmm. But walking into that, I was always afraid because I knew that wasn't his storyline.
So how does that tie into being a narcissist?
Because when it came to relationships, it was about him.
Oh, okay. So it was a one-sided relationship.
Yeah, situation. It was about him.
Okay.
And if something happened, and I feel like I was always on edge about that, that he didn't like,
he would be
it would jeopardize our relationship.
Yeah, it would be. He would be out the door.
Yeah. And I knew that.
Okay.
And I fought for that, which is not thinking back, it wasn't a good thing. But at that time, I always was like on edge because I knew that was his mind frame.
Gotcha. So then that weighed heavy in the relationship, so to speak, because it was really all about him and how he wanted to navigate the relationship. It wasn't a partnership.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason why I can talk about this is because we've been having conversations about this, right?
You've been clearing the air, yeah.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of a really good space now. And he said to me that he's a narcissist. And I said, is that a good thing? Mm. And he was like, I don't think so. And I said, I don't think that's good that you are like saying that and you're like proud about that.
Well, and it's even what's even more interesting is you're labeling yourself as something and you don't even know what the definition of it is or that you can't.
I absolutely think that he did not know.
Yeah.
I think that he thought, I think because people have said it to him, he was saying it.
So because someone has called you a narcissist and you've adapted the title.
Yeah. And you don't even know what the definition is. These are your actions.
Yeah.
You're saying it, but not really knowing what that is. Mm. So when I throw it back at you, like, is that a good thing?
Right.
Now you're questioning, like, but wait a minute.
Because you're walking around with a badge of honor saying, right. Well, I'm a narcissist. I'm a narcissist. That's how I am. Right. However, you don't even really know what the essence of a narcissist is, even though you exhibit the behavior of a narcissist.
Right.
That's interesting.
But I can say since then, like, it's really been a take back for him because it's like, he's really been soul searching who he is and things that he's done since then.
What's interesting too, I think that raises a good point in terms of taking on the titles of things that people label you as.
You know, like so I take on my title of the resting bitch face because I have it, right?
And you know what it means.
And this face is going to rest and it's going to be a bitch. But I receive that. Because I give that, because you know that, and that is a part of me, and I'm a part of that.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me so my homegirl the other day, I said, we were talking about the podcast, and I said, my co-host said that he agrees to have a resting bitch face.
Yeah.
And she sent me a picture that I had posted years ago with me and Scar from The Lion King.
Okay.
And she said, because you despise guessing games.
So, yes, you are Scar.
And I'm like, that really is my face.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. And I wasn't lying. I know exactly what I meant when I said
it. You are now the Lion King.
Right.
You are not lying.
You are Scar. All day long.
I am very sarcastic.
Sarcastic and trivial.
Yes. That is me.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to receive that.
It's not
a bad thing. I'm not as bad as Scar was. I would not kill my brother.
I think you...
Because I don't have one. But, huh?
I think you own it very well.
I'm not... I guess, for me, I'm not an envious person of anyone.
Got you.
So, that's the only part of Scar that I can't relate.
Yeah, you don't want the power. You just...
But my face, my resting bitch face, does set in its very well.
It's real. Let's go to the next
Severely.
One. If you're just joining us, we're talking about types of toxic people. We just talked about the narcissist. The next topic, or type of toxic person, rather, is the controller.
Ooh.
Tries to control everything around them, needs to be in charge of every decision, mm-hmm. makes you feel like you can't do anything right. It's the controller. We're talking about types of toxic people. Now,
I don't like that last part.
Makes you feel like you can't do anything right?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
I feel like I'm a controller.
I was going to say, I think that... No, I was going to say that you... No, let me finish my statement. I think that we all have a little bit of a controller in us. I know that I do.
I'm a controller. I know that. Mm-hmm. Like, even with this podcast, I like it because I have control over this.
Yeah.
Like, I've worked with radio stations and stuff, but I have control over...
You have the control of the content.
How people listen to it, how it's promoted, what we talk about. I edit it down. If I don't like something, I can take it out. Like, I have control over it. So, I feel like I'm a controller. Am I toxic because of that?
Well, I think... Because I had to... This kind of sat in on me, too. Because I know that I like to control a few things. But I think the difference is in the balance of being a controller is that understanding that you are not the... Like, if it doesn't get done... Or if you do it, then it's not going to get done. That's not true. It does take two people. You know, if you're working in a group setting, it does take, you know, you take the influence or the suggestions from those other people that you work with.
I can even say in that setting, I'm still the controller. Like, I want to, I feel like if I don't take control, it's not going
to
get done.
Do you need to be in charge of every decision, though?
Yes.
Okay. So then do you make people feel like they can't do anything right?
I don't feel like I do that.
That's where you have
a problem. But to be all the way honest, people have said that.
So I think it being a controller.
Like people, when it comes to me doing radio stuff, they will say that I boast and I brag about me being doing this stuff for over 10 years. And to me, I don't feel like I say it to intimidate people. It's like my badge of honor. Like, I've really been doing this for this long. But
do you think people are intimidated?
But they take it. They are. Mm-hmm. Even, like, the old radio station I worked for, I feel like they were intimidated by that. Because for me, I don't feel like I'm saying it to be offensive or to make them offended by it or to intimidate them. I feel like I say that because, like, literally, this is as long as I've been doing it. You know,
but even though you don't feel that way, maybe their perception is that, and you cannot deny people's perception.
Absolutely,
right? Like their perception is their reality, unfortunately. Right. So then you have to, even if you have the best intentions, if somebody perceives you in a negative light, that's their perception. So unfortunately, then you have to say.
But what are you? But so okay, so let's have this conversation. Mm-hmm. What do you do when that happens?
Then you rightfully hear them out.
Okay.
Because again, that's their perception. So you initiate the conversation. Like, listen, I understand that you have.
But people say that when your feelings are not wrong.
Whose feelings are not wrong? The person that has perceived.
How you feel, you can't change the fact. Like, if I make you feel a certain type of way, your feelings are valid.
Indeed, that's why their perception is valid, because it's the way they feel.
But if I didn't mean to make you feel like that.
If you didn't make to, so here's how this works. Like if somebody, so say for example, if I was offended or the perception of something you said to me offended me, right? And now I'm offended and I have an attitude. Mm-hmm. So then I come to you and I say, you know, but you've been working the radio for 10 years and you feel like you have the be all end all or I have some great ideas. I have some great, perspectives, why not consider yada, yada, yada. So the right thing for you to do, because at the end of the day, the offense was not intentional.
Right.
So initially, apologize for the offense, because that's where the wrong is.
But what if you're not receiving that?
Well, if it's a genuine situation where you say, listen, I apologize because I've offended you.
Right.
Whether it was my intention or not. Don't say, I'm sorry if, you... No, listen. Don't say, I'm sorry if you feel that way. That's not an apology.
Right.
That is...
I agree with what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
But I'm saying, I'm genuinely apologizing to you, and you're not receiving my apology.
Then, as something I've said before in the podcast, on here, is if reconciliation is not an option, then you wash your hands of the situation, because you were man enough to go to the person and say, hey, I apologize that I offended you.
Right.
Now, How can we move forward?
Right.
What ideas? What, you know? Let's talk about the offense at this point.
Right.
What made you offended? That I wasn't listening to you, mm-hmm. or that I didn't hear you, or that I didn't take your ideas and put them into practice? Like there's you know, you find out where that bridge was broken, and then try to fix it. Now, if they're not listening, then you say, okay, I've apologized. Mm-hmm. That's all I can do, and that's it.
So I want to give you this scenario.
Okay, right? Here we go.
So this has happened to me recently.
Okay.
And through the whole argument, I apologize for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because generally, I don't want to make anyone feel like I intentionally tried to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So after you trashed me, mm-hmm. I mean, you trashed me, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you realize I've checked out, you tell me that I hurt your feelings. But at this point, fuck your feelings.
Understandable.
Should I revisit that?
Well, because now you've got, in the case of this situation, you've got several offenses.
Right.
Now you're offended because this person has trashed you.
Once I'm offended, and I will admit this, it's really no coming back from
that. You shut down.
I don't want to because I literally apologized a million times. And I literally said to you, I was not trying to make you feel like this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of this, you trashed me.
Yeah.
And then once you realized I checked out, then you wanted to say, you hurt my feelings. And on the inside of me, I felt bad that I offended someone.
Right.
But you can't take back everything you just said.
That part. Because here's the thing. People are always, they may never remember what you said,
right?
And they may never remember what you've done,
right?
But they will always remember how they made you feel,
right?
They may not remember what you said,
right?
They may not remember what you did,
right?
But they will always remember how they made you feel. So in that case of the situation where you've apologized directly for the initial offense,
mm-hmm.
and that person still in their anger decided that they wanted to trash you, as you said, and, you know, kind of say whatever they wanted to say to hurt you.
Right.
So now you're offended and now you're hurt. So now if they're not willing to then come to the table and say, you know what, I should not have said that about you. I heard what you said when you apologized initially.
Right.
So now that you've apologized, I need to now step back and you've apologized for hurting my feelings because that was the original offense. Because now they had to circle back around and say what the original offense is. And I'll put a pin there to say that in most cases, people need to be upfront and honest about how they feel.
Right.
So that you, when you have odds and when you have arguments,
you don't blow up.
You don't blow up and you can, like a lot of the times, I will not respond to an offense or to an argument out of my emotions first.
Right.
Because I am very clear, personally, I'm very clear that my emotions are not equipped to handle my everyday life. So if I come into contact with somebody that has offended me or hurt me,
mm-hmm.
I'm not the slash your tires type. I'm not the bust your windows type. I'm not the type that's going to initially respond out of anger because I know that anger is going to push me to a place that I'm not going to be able to come back
right.
from. Right? So let me take a day, or let me take, you know, and I think that a lot of Sagittarius has had this issue. You know, there's a post that's been going around where people say, and I say issue, it's not really an issue, it's just something about us. You see us cry when we're offended or upset or angry. We're crying not because we're upset and angry.
Mm-hmm.
We're crying because we're about to fuck you up.
Right.
And that's the only way that we can emotionally respond
right.
without losing our temper and going into, you know, someplace that's just crazy.
And see, with a Virgo, we're not even going to cry. You don't see no emotion. We're just going to fuck you up.
You know, like
you're not going to see it coming.
You'll see a tear and you think we're weak.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
I'm going to cry after I fucked you up.
I'm crying because I really want to whoop you. And I'm trying. Everything within me is keeping me from whooping. And the only response is that there's a tear that's going to fall out of my eye. Like, I get it. I totally understand. So, because there was so many offenses that have happened,
right.
if you've shut down after apologizing and trying to fix the situation,
right.
then
wash your hands. And for me, I would rather offend my friends than them to offend me.
Hmm.
Because once you offend me, I don't think I don't have a policy to come back from that.
Yeah, I don't
especially really, when you get personal, you say things
that you know
that you know I'm gonna fucking like.
Yeah, that you intentionally say to hurt me. That's a problem.
Because when I'm arguing, with someone, I'm not low blowing.
Right.
Right. I intentionally do not throw low blows.
Because here's the thing, too. When you do that, that really, because you're speaking from your heart.
Yeah.
So that really shines a light on exactly how you truly feel about me, to be honest.
Right.
If you really should dissect the
And that's situation. Why it's hard for me to take that back.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you've been holding this in for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough. That's real tough.
But I do, in my heart, I want to forgive her so bad. But I just can never forget the things that she said Indeed. When she was mad.
Indeed. And that has, I don't know where I heard that originally.
And what she said to me, when I left the place that we were at, we were having this argument, and when she said that I hurt her feelings, I got it. But it was like, I wish you wouldn't have said what you said when you were mad.
But did you, when you apologized, were you apologizing?
I apologize in the middle. Everything that she said, I apologize for her taking it the way that she took it because it wasn't my intention.
Okay.
And I didn't say I'm sorry you felt like that.
Okay.
I said I'm sorry that you are interpreting what I did the way you are because that was never my intention.
Right.
I really wasn't trying to fuck you over. I really am thinking of the best interest of us as friends and how to take this venture on as a team.
Yeah.
And I said, but I still want to do my own personal stuff.
Yeah.
So, just like you want to and my other friend wants to. Like, we all want our own personal stuff, but you're taking mine on as though
you
it's a personal attack against
you. Yeah, yeah.
And it was never meant to be that.
Because
guess what? Had you came to me and said the same thing, I would have rooted you on.
Yeah.
I would have promoted. Because when she did do it, without even asking me, I promoted all of her stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to get all the way into it. But there's no way she can think that I don't support her. Hmm. And yeah. I'm going to just leave that there.
Okay.
That was a lot. Yeah.
A little
I wanted to cry a little bit, seriously, because I really hate that our friendship is over because of things that I just wanted to do. It wasn't a personal attack against this person, but she felt like that.
But I will say, like I said a few minutes ago, if she would have initially said, "This has hurt my feelings,"
yeah,
then you could have addressed the actual issue,
right,
and not all this extra blowed up calling me out.
Or just being open to hearing what was going on.
Yeah,
it would have been cool because. Honestly, her saying at the end of that, "You hurt my feelings," had more impact on me than anything she said.
Mm. And because then you would have been able to address that.
Yeah, I would have. First of all, I would have had empathy for the fact that I hurt my friend's feelings.
Yeah, yeah. That's understandable. Can we move on?
You yes.
good? You all right? Okay. Just want to make sure it's okay. I didn't. You know, if you want to talk about it some more, we can. Okay. Again, we're talking about types of toxic people. We've already covered the narcissist, the controller. Next up is the drama magnet. Oh, did I hear a lower over there, Jessica? The drama magnet feeds off of gossip and drama. Drama seems to follow them. They create it and put you in uncomfortable positions. So again, let me read it again because that sounded weird. So the drama magnet,
okay.
They feed off of gossip and drama.
Mm-hmm.
Drama seems to quote unquote follow them, but they create it, puts you in uncomfortable positions. You know some drama magnets?
All of it sounded good until that last part. Like everything
put you in uncomfortable
everything positions. You say is good until the last part.
That last one gets you.
Because I feel like that's like our best friend. Like, what? Now, what happened? Who did what? I want all the tea.
The drama mag.
Yes.
I you know what? I will say this. I have.
Just don't drag me in.
Don't be. What?
No. Don't put me in it. But I'm good. I mean, I like to
so
hear
you
it.
So you want to hear the drama?
I like
you
to sit in my tea when it's piping hot.
Even if it's cold tea, you still want to drink it.
Cold tea is not always the great thing. But, when it's piping, I don't want to hear it.
You want to hear it. I will say this. I have been on both sides of this coin. Okay. I've been a drama magnet, and I've also been a part of people's lives that have drawn me or dragged me into,
okay,
you know, the drama. And within the past couple of years, it has allowed me to do some self-introspection in regards to this particular topic of my life.
Okay.
Like, what did I do? You know, what have I shared? What have I said? What have I done to people in my life in that aspect, and being a drama magnet, and what has been done to me that I didn't necessarily need to be dragged into the situation, but I was because somebody decided to share the information with me.
Mm-hmm. I feel like because so much drama has surrounded me, I don't want to be that person.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, That's why I did the introspection.
I don't even share things that I know, because I've been the attention of drama before.
But I think it's also important.
And it's been on a major scale of people.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, I love to hear some good teas. You know,
I think we all do.
Turn it up, make it hot, put some honey in it, sprinkle a little lemon in it, stir it up, let me sip on it. But I just don't want, I just can't be the person that's carrying it around.
But I also think it has a lot to do with like growth and maturity too.
Yeah.
Like, once you get to a certain space, you don't want to be the person that's known as the drama magnet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or you don't want to be the person that everybody comes to and says, you know, oh, I know they know, so let me call them and find out. Or if they don't know, let me tell you so you know what's going on. Like, that's just, it becomes old after a while. At least it should become old after a while.
I'll even say with my friendships, this is a lot of personal conversation today. If I feel like someone's going to bring drama into my life, I want to already execute it and get it out the way.
Yeah.
Which has made me part ways with some of my best friends.
Mm.
Because I just see the drama coming and I don't want it. I've been through so much the last few years of my life. All I want is peace.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to fight. I'll fight for that.
And I'm going to tell you now, like, when you can honestly and truthfully say, when somebody brings some drama to you that they think that you're involved in or that they think that you know, and you can wholeheartedly say, I don't know nothing about it. I was not there. I don't want to know about it. Like, that's a
or very even if you do position. Even know about it, but you shut it down.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I know my friends come to me in confidence. You will never pull out of me what I've been told from someone else.
Yeah.
Because they came to me in confidence with this. And unless they told it to you, you're not going to get it from me. Because the only thing I want in my life in this space is peace.
Is peace, yeah.
I've been through enough drama.
Yeah. Recently.
I don't feel like I can even take anymore.
Yeah. Recently, I had a situation where someone begged me to interact with someone else that they were connected to, right? They begged me to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, you know, I'll connect with them. You know, you said you needed, you wanted me and my opinion and my space, my thoughts with this person. Mm-hmm. Got it. Then lo and behold, later on, I heard that the person that tried to connect us tried to take me and throw me under the bus in something that they said that I had absolutely nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was connected to the person, because they connected us together, Dwayne probably said it because now y'all know each other and y'all are connected is basically what the underlining was.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, when they called, you know, because then they called me directly and said, well, this person said you said this. And I said, no, I don't have anything to do with that. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't say anything about it. And I don't really care at the end of the day. So, no, it has nothing to do with me. And it's freeing to be able to say. That's
why text message conversation.
So
we can go back and read what I said.
Screenshot.
Because you're not about to drag me into nobody's mess.
Yeah.
Like, I literally, if someone said, we need to talk, tell me about it through text.
What are we talking about?
So that when they take it back to who they got it from, I can say, well, this is exactly what I said. You can read it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like that all day. Even with my ex, I tell
them.
He's like, oh, people said that you trashed me and this, things and that. I said, well, who told you that? Well, here's what our conversation was. Boom. Oh, well, that's not. Read it for yourself.
That's not what they said.
Because what I said. That's
not what they said.
Because what I say is in text message form. So you can see it yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I think having it in text message form, and people going to have receipts. They're going to screenshot everything.
Absolutely.
They're going to keep everything.
Absolutely.
So that when it does
come to them, you talking to you don't even know.
Right. Right.
So.
A mess. So that is the drama magnet. Next up, we've got the energy vampire. The energy vampire. The energy vampire drains you of energy, overwhelms you, creates problems, and feeds on the negative, and criticizes and bullies.
What was the one you read before that?
The drama magnet?
It's not like the same person.
Not necessarily.
That person is the energy drainer.
The drama magnet is the energy drainer? Okay. But the energy vampire, again, drains you of your energy and overwhelms you, creates problems, and feeds on the negative.
That sounds like the dang same person.
And criticizes and bullies you.
That sounds like the same person.
So nothing on the energy vampire. You don't have anybody that comes around, like, just wants your attention?
It's the drama. You? It's the drama magnet.
Okay. That's all we got. Okay. Well, we can go to the next one.
They the same kind of people.
Same kind of people. Jessica, you got something you want to say? Into the mic over here. Yeah, come on. All right, Jessica's coming over. Jesse Music, everybody.
Dwayne, I just wanted to know. Talking to the mic. Hey, y'all. So, Dwayne, I just wanted to know from your perspective, what if you've dealt with an energy vampire?
An energy vampire, yeah, yes.
Yeah, you tell me.
Yes, I have. Actually, did you ask that question so that I can talk about a particular person? You want to tell me who the person is so I can then expound on it? Okay. I have dealt with an energy vampire. Like, what's interesting is that you can pick up energies from people, right. Obviously. You pick up energy from people that you know, that you want to be around, that you want to be connected to. I think me and Jessica have that great connection with each other. Like, we want to be around each other's energy. We enjoy each other's energy. We enjoy each other's time. We feed off of each other. We learn from each other. We teach each other. And so I think there are people that, you know, don't necessarily have, like, their intentions in terms of energy is solely just to drain you. And then they'll create a negative situation to be around you just so that they can, you know, be around you to talk about whatever they need to talk about. Okay. So I'm trying to think about who you, honestly, I've kind of buffered this portion of the conversation because I was trying to think about who you were talking about. But I don't know. Hotline Bling. Oh, and look who it is. Hey. Anyway. But Jessica, I'm going to ask you to jump in real quick and have this conversation with Aaron while I grab something for him. If you will. Come on.
Come on, have this conversation.
Come on. Come on down to the Price is Right.
Ooh, I'm scared.
So you have dealt with an energy drainer.
Oh, I definitely have dealt with a energy drainer. Dwayne, he kind of left out, but he was talking about, like, that bullying characteristic that mm-hmm. they have, that energy draining. In my previous relationship.
Okay.
That lip pop was, like, extra.
It popped severely.
It was a strong pop. I have that big energy, mm-hmm. It's not just for one person. I can give it to everybody. You know, uh-huh. Everybody can have access to it okay. to a certain extent because you don't want your energy
give it to everybody.
Right, yeah, right, you right. don't. You know, you don't want to spread it everywhere. But you know, I can give love to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so that person attached to me, I think from that space, knowing that it's like seeing a beautiful sunflower, and you're like, oh, I just want to have that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found myself in that relationship and feeling possessed, you know, like or just like I was being owned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a good feeling because there is a bullying characteristic to it. It's just like, no, you belong to me. And then you're always sad and you want me to lift you up all the time.
Right. I guess for me, like, my energy is important to me, right? Mm-hmm. So you couldn't come into my space and drain my energy, because I'm going to drain yours before you drain mine.
Okay.
Seriously, because you're going to be like, all we do is argue, because I protect my energy like that.
That was a lot of arguing.
I bet it was. But guess what? I'm going to tire you out before you tire me out. Because I feel like my energy is important to me. That's something that I've always known my entire life. I don't want to be around people who want to drain any of my energy for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've worked hard to have good energy. And I don't want to be in a space where people feel like that's an option for them to take from me.
Yeah. And I think it's a learning thing. Like for me, that's like one of the first serious relationships that I had. And it was just kind of crazy. So I'm learning still actually to protect my energy, because I feel like on one side of me, I feel like it's, you know, it's my purpose in life, or it's a part of my destiny to just give good energy and to love and all this kind of stuff. But when you have people that want to, you know, kind of like look at it like it just belongs to them, or you're their thing. And it's just like,
well, people will take from you whatever you let them get from you. And that's where I feel like, for me, you're not going to be able to get from me nothing that I'm not going to give to you. You can't take from me.
So then would you say that people drain your energy because you let them?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Now tell me, and I'm getting out of here.
No.
You might want to say that in the mic so that they can hear you, because I know it's going to pick up.
I don't know. So I asked the question if you think when people drain your energy, are you allowing them to?
And I say, yes, I feel like you do. I feel like you give people power to take from you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not always something that you do on purpose, but you have your boundaries. You have your things that you know what you will and you won't do,
right?
And so, especially if love is involved in it, is dating involved in it, they're going to be able to take more from you than a normal person would be able to.
Because they don't want to hurt your feelings. You don't want to cause an argument.
Or because you just don't want to lose your relationship. Mm-hmm. So you're letting them literally drain you. But then there comes that day.
You got to pay attention.
Where it's like, I'm washing my hands of this. And I don't give a fuck what I lose.
Mm.
I'm freeing myself from this. I need my energy back.
So let me ask you this. So if you're loving someone and they are that energy vampire,
mm-hmm.
how would you protect your energy with that and amount?
In this space in my life right now, if I felt like someone was draining my energy, I would just tell them. Like, I don't think you're a good thing for me. Matter of fact, this is a really good question. So me and Dwayne was talking after his party. And I told him that I felt like someone would not be a good person for me to talk to. Magically, I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I already have my walls up, I will say.
You've come in with your guard up, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Like you felt like initially the conversation was not going to be a good conversation. You probably shouldn't move forward with it. However, you went against that portion of the judgment and decided to go in with it, but you've got your guard up and you're watching. Right.
I actually wanted to say that I wanted to name this podcast Breaking All the Rules, because I feel like everything I said that I won't do, I'm doing
it. You're doing it. And I mean doing it.
And that's honest. I'm doing it. And I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, why do you feel like you need to feel anything about it? I mean, at this point, just do it and then see what happens.
Because I feel like, here we go, me feeling like, God, I don't want to feel like this.
Like what?
How I feel. And I can't explain it to you how I feel.
I was just getting ready to say,
the way that I feel, I don't want to feel like this so fast.
Then take it easy. I mean, we just had
this conversation. We're on the podcast talking about it now.
Right.
I am.
And be comfortable.
But on the inside of me, it's still accelerating.
Okay.
It's moving fast on the inside walls.
But are you... but you're not showing that outwardly.
No, I'm not.
So then you're fine.
I know. But it's like, I feel like it's like...
Let things happen naturally and organically.
I am. I'm doing that.
Let it happen organically.
But I'm breaking every rule that I have for myself.
I don't know why I would agree with that.
I will because, one,
all you're doing is just entertaining. You're not, there's no pressure.
But I sexually have entertained, and I never do that.
Well, you did say that once.
I never do that.
Once you turn off the lights, that's it.
And I have broken that rule.
Well, I mean, friend, unless you want to go into
it. And I want to, I'm trying my hardest not to go into details.
I'm really glad that you were trying very hard. And I'm glad that you're succeeding. Because if he goes into details, Jess, we're going to be here all night.
Oh.
Like, it's going to turn into another Aaron podcast. We already had one podcast where it was all about Aaron's life, which is not a problem, but you just want to get it out, friend. I understand. You just want it to come out. You want to just talk about it. I get it.
So let's transition, right? But we have to touch on the topic of the podcast.
We got two more toxic people.
Okay.
And then we'll finish that out.
This may go over an hour. I'm going to just tell you.
Are we already here?
We're at 50 minutes.
Oh, this is such a good. Okay. All right. So we're going to cover the last two types of toxic people.
Flashbacks.
No, don't do that. Don't do it. It's hot. Don't do that. We're covering the types of toxic people. Thank we got God. Two more to go. Compulsive liars.
Ooh.
Compulsive liars is a type of toxic person.
Oh, my God.
Compulsive liars tell white lies. Let me just finish what I'm saying. I'm going to name them and then we can revisit them if we need to because we got a couple of other topics to cover.
Oh, we still have to do the video portion too.
We'll carry this over into the video portion as well, but I'm going to name the last two.
Okay.
So again, compulsive liars tells white lies consistently, manipulates and gaslights you, master of guilt trips.
Mm.
So, compulsive liars tells white lies consistently.
I could write you a book, shoot a movie, and then poke your eyeballs out and make you read it in Braille.
Manipulates and gaslights you, masters of nature. And the last type of toxic person is the green-eyed.
Envious person.
Mm-hmm. Cannot be happy for others.
I want to talk good about fortune. This. Now I do want to talk
plays
about
the, plays the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Minimizes other people to feel better about themselves. There's a lot of them in the community.
Yes. Not even just in the community, period.
Yeah, there's a lot of green-eyed people.
So one reason why I feel like I chose podcasting over everything else is because I didn't have to deal with that.
Mm.
In
your radio experience, you've dealt with a lot of green-eyed people.
A lot. Because I do know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And people who own radio stations, and I can say from the last one that I was at, I didn't get that. But everywhere else that I've been, it's been a challenge. Because they felt like, I felt like they were intimidated by me for my knowledge.
Mm.
Of things, and like I would come to them and say, hey, you know, social media is becoming a big thing, let's tackle this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is before social media was a thing. I can say that when social media was a thing, I met someone who was older who didn't understand social media. Mm-hmm. And so for me, meeting that kind of person, I have a very low tolerance in this point in my life. Because one, you're not going to be receptive to someone who knows more than you.
Most people aren't.
And you're going to try to bring me down to your level instead of coming up to the level of experience that you need to have.
People fear change.
So those are my two things on that. I'm going to leave it there.
Okay.
And we can go. The last two things you brought up, those can be like movies for me.
Okay. So we will cover them. If you are listening, we also have our YouTube posts coming up. So you'll see some live versions of Phase of the Heart and some video clips from that as well. So
you guys can go onto YouTube will be today. Mm-hmm. Where we talked about top to bottom, versatile. And is that a good conversation to have in the first conversation? Which we need to kind of do that now, right?
I mean, we can.
Because I'm shocked at Dwayne. Why? I would just say. Because I really thought we were on the same page with this. And we weren't.
It's not that we weren't on the same page. So
we were not on the same page all. Like, clearly we were not on the same page. And if you guys watch the video,
here we go.
You're going to see that we are not on the same page.
So after rewatching the video, mm-hmm. we went down a few rabbit holes that I think that...
Well, you watched a clip. I watched the full thing.
Like, I have multiple the full times. Video.
Oh, you watched it?
Yes.
Watched it, I said, we really are not... Like, how are we in a relationship?
I mean, we are. But I think that we went down a few rabbit holes.
Okay.
So let me clarify a couple of statements.
Okay.
Right? Number one, I'm not saying that it's inappropriate to ask the question in the first conversation or the first date.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's not inappropriate.
Okay.
I think that it is a part of our dynamic as gay men to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
Initially. I agree.
Absolutely.
I think where I might have disagreed is that if I choose not to answer it immediately right then when you ask,
right.
does not necessarily mean that I'm trying to deflect and not answer the question. Especially if I have feelings for what's happening. If I'm tied into what's happening and I think that there could be more, the possibility of a long-term situation, mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil it by initially talking about sexual positions and thinking that's all that you want.
But why do you look at it as spoiling it instead of looking at it as, let's figure out if this is a possibility? Because I feel like, that when that question is asked, people dumb the question down to sex, right?
But it is. You're asking.
It's not. It's not. Because it has nothing to do with sex. Because guess what? In my prior life, before this new situation happened, I would have fucked you in like 3 months.
Would not have.
I would not have.
Okay.
If I'm dating you.
Okay.
So, I'm not dummy. I'm not asking you this so we can fuck. Okay. I'm asking to find out if we're compatible.
Okay.
And if we are not sexually compatible, in what capacity can we have a relationship?
Now.
And this conversation also makes me think about, would I be able to compromise in a sexual relationship with you?
Indeed.
You've dumbed my conversation down to, I want to fuck.
But
so I've walked away from here.
You're going to let me say something?
No, I'm about to.
Okay.
I've walked away from here. You walked away as, oh, he want to fuck. I walked away with, this nigga is just fucking like not understanding shit. And so we got nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. So we potentially have lost a full relationship we could have possibly had you just answered my question, or if you would have just asked me, why are you asking me this?
So you, okay, because it, your stance when we had when we filmed the video was something completely different than what you just
said. It wasn't.
It because there wasn't an explanation. It was if you deflect the answer, then I don't want to waste my time, is what you said. So
because I don't.
Indeed. However, if you would have explained it that way, like you just did, then that's a different perception than I'm asking and then you deflect because you want to talk about sex and that now I'm I don't want to waste my time. Like that's very abrasive.
Okay, so I said that. I said that when I asked this, and I watched this video so many times so that I can see how it will come off, right? So I said, I don't understand why it turns to, oh, you want to fuck?
Because okay, now let me address
that. And I said that multiple times. Wait, I said that multiple times because that's what happens, is that you ask that, and they're like, oh, are we fucking? And I'm like, I just want to know what your position is. So because if I'm versatile or if I'm a top or I'm a bottom, can I date you? You know, will this be a lasting thing or will this be like, we might just fuck and that's it? Like, I want to know that. And it and I'm not just saying from our conversation because this has been, this has happened. Mm-hmm. And like I say, even when I'm on like apps, I like to meet people who are strict tops or strict bottoms because they will block you and go on their way.
Right.
But there is that middle space where there's people who are tops or their bottoms are not strict. They're just tops and bottoms and versatile people. Where it's
you
not
say versatile people like it's a disease.
I like versatile people.
Okay. Like what just happened?
I don't know where you got there from.
Well, I will say because somebody two things. Okay. Number one, when I asked you on the video, when I said that, well, if I'm a versatile, what is that?
Like what,
you,
what is that?
But then somebody else, I guess, watched the video and was like, "So, Dwayne, you're a versatile." I'm like, "No, come on, like, come on, no, my sexual preference is none of your business unless we fucking." You still want to know?
Or dating?
You still want to know what it is, don't you?
Well, I think I know what you are.
Do you?
Yeah. Don't know.
I mean, if you're my boyfriend, I guess you should, right?
I mean, you my man. I mean, I'll spread it wide and lay it low. But no, I'm just... we walk somewhere else.
See what y'all cause? See, what, this is what happens.
I just feel like that is a very important question to ask.
And again,
in the first conversation.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
I think it is important to ask. Okay. However, I think there's some tact behind it and an explanation so that people... And the reason... Okay, so I wanted to get to your point where you said, well, why do people initially think that it means that we're having sex? Well, given the nature of our community, generally, when you ask something as strict, whether it's on apps or whether it's text via conversation, it's taken as, well, you don't really want to get to know me personally. You just want to know what I can do. Which, I mean, if that's where we're going, okay, say that, right? As opposed to, you know, in other situations, I don't know if you've come across people where sex was not even a topic of a conversation, but we had so many other conversations and energy exchanges that that didn't even necessarily matter. Because if you get to me on a mental level and you touch me there,
are you
going to
change what you are?
Possibly, if you have,
I don't agree with that.
But that's how some
people
are.
I think you may feel like that because you are genuinely interested in me. But I don't feel like you're going to change your sexual position because
some people. How do you not know that some people weren't even considering being versatile in the first place?
Well, you need to explore that before you date me.
Well, not you in general. But
no, I'm saying whoever you date, you need to explore that before then, because I don't want to walk into a relationship where sexually we're not going to be compatible. Period. Which is why I ask in those very first conversations.
I understand that, but you
because
don't know.
I don't want to. If I want to get to this part before I find out if I'm like feeling you.
I understand
because
that, but that
it's hard to come back from feeling you versus your sexual position.
For you. But everybody's not like that.
So people are more into sexual positions than they are feeling you.
Some people are.
I would love to talk to someone who's like that. Because I don't see that. I don't see that as possible.
That people are more concerned about sexual positions when they hook up with people as opposed to getting to know them, maybe having something long term.
If you have my attention, I mean, you could have just, you probably mind fucked me at this point. think I'm going through that. Okay. Well, you probably have mind fucked me at this point.
I don't know if y'all heard what he just said, but okay. All right.
But a sexual position, doesn't make sense to me.
Sexual positions are not permanent.
I agree with that.
For everyone. They're not permanent.
For people who don't say that they are strict bottoms or strict tops. Because strict bottoms, strict tops, that's not changing.
Okay, for them. But what
percentage? But if I come to you and I say I'm a top, I'm a bottom, I know I have a little bit of leeway.
Like I can play with it while you're doing
it.
I can play with it.
If I'm versatile, hey, baby, this is the playground.
Yeah.
But if I'm a strict bottom or I'm a strict top, there's no leap. There's no room to play with that.
Gotcha.
So but when people are asking that, people need to respect that because it's a very valid question.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not saying
today.
That. I didn't disagree before. I just never clarified my different stance. It wasn't that I disagreed that the question should not be asked. I disagree that the fact that if I deflect the question, it may be a reason why.
But this shouldn't be a deflect.
But there is a reason why. If I choose not to say why.
But why would you deflect?
Just said that.
Well, say it again. I missed it.
I just said if I deflect it, it could be because I'm feeling you on a whole different level. And I don't want to spoil it by just, okay, now we're just going to talk about sex.
But you may change your sexual position.
If I feel that the person that I'm interacting with,
okay, I'm gonna ask you a very uncomfortable question.
And I'm not gonna answer you. If I feel that the person that has given me enough wherewithal for me to be able to do whatever it is I want to do, then that's the case. Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of energy am I bringing?
What kind of energy do you bring to? I'm not answering that.
No, not me. Not me. What kind of energy can I bring to you that would make you change your sexual position?
If you get in here, if you get in my mind,
okay,
and we're talking, and you know the vibe is good,
you
the
might
energy
become
is good,
Tatiana.
The level of masculinity is crossing, like our testosterone is crossing. What is it? It's called a sapiosexual.
Okay.
You've stimulated my mind.
Okay.
Enough.
Uh huh.
It could be a whole playground over here. But there are people that are sapiosexuals that you have to fuck them here first.
Okay.
Before you even, and regardless of what happens in the bedroom, if you've done it here, mm-hmm. then you can do, positions are not, what it is, it's a free for all.
I wouldn't change what I want to do.
No, that, but well, that's you.
Mine's is a pretty open thing. So
yeah. It's different.
But that still wouldn't change. What?
It's possible. It happens. It's happened to me. But, it's happened. I've had great energy.
It was about that part after this podcast, though, because I'm interested in that.
I've had great energy with somebody, and, like, I mean, all I's are dotted, T's are crossed, everything was covered, like, and we had just great energy, great conversation, great affection. All of that was all intermingled. Listen, Tatiana. Until 7 a.m.
But you would do that in a relationship?
If you continue to keep that same energy, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. We come across people all the time in dating. We come across people all the time with different energies, different personalities, different mm-hmm. situations.
Right.
And you know, you don't get that with everybody.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
I will say that I...
Which is why this thing that's going on...
What thing?
With me.
Oh, God. Here we go.
It's fucking me up.
Why?
Because
we're not
going
to talk about him every day.
We don't have to.
Okay. I'm just saying, we're not going to... Like, if you...
We're talking about me, not even him. Me.
Okay. It's you. Okay.
It's me. It's fucking me up because it's like... We just had, like, at least 5 podcasts where I just told y'all things I don't want to do, and I'm doing all of it.
Okay. And he's not asking you to do it either.
I'm willingly doing
that part.
It's the part that's fucking me up.
That's because he hit your prostate.
And some other things. So this is the end of this podcast.
He just went somewhere completely else that took him left. Guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for allowing us to entertain you. Thank you for joining in the conversations.
Thank you for helping us hit 1,000.
Thank you for helping us hitting 1,000 subscribers, 1,000 streams.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
We can't really tell how many subscribers we have.
That's okay. At least
all I do know is we have at least 78% of the people who listen on Apple Podcasts. 78% have subscribed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So shout out to our Apple subscribers. Shout out to our close second, which is Spotify.
Yes.
So we appreciate you guys for listening in. And all the other platforms, we appreciate you for listening to us.
iHeart, Google, Spotify, Apple. And then we're definitely on Anchor, which is where we started, where we are streamed from, everything. So
we appreciate you guys. Make sure, again, you like, you subscribe, and turn on your notifications.
Yeah, before you even get to that, so today is the first day we're going to start our YouTube channel. So the topic that you guys really wanted to hear about is going to be on the YouTube channel. We touched on it a little bit at the end of this podcast, but the full conversation is going to be on YouTube. So you want to go and look up Affairs of the Heart on YouTube, and that conversation that you guys are looking for will be on the YouTube channel starting today.
And we'll cross-promote it. You'll see, if you follow us individually or collectively, you'll see that we're promoting the YouTube station as well. And so we are grateful for all of you listeners. Thank you. Continue to keep talking about us. Continue to keep promoting us. Continue to be sharing the conversations.
Real quick before we even get out of here, I think that's a really dope thing. Everywhere we have been, people have been talking about this podcast.
Yeah.
And I really love that, because it's like, I feel like our conversations are like really touching people. Like, they're really interested in what we're talking about. And I really appreciate the reviews that have been left on Apple Podcasts. And just people coming up and talking to us about different things. We were at a Christmas party the other day. Mm-hmm. And we had a full-blown you weren't even there yet. I had a full-blown conversation about whether or not we should have a conversation about being top versus bottom or top.
Just because they knew you from the project.
And they seen the clip on social media. So this podcast is really for the culture. And I just did an interview for a blog. I do want to shout the blog out. Hold on. If I can get it up.
While he's looking forward, again, make sure you check us out at sodebonair.com. Debonair with no O. You can also check out Affairs of the Heart on Heart on Facebook and Twitter at AF. Oh,
it's AOTH.
I was like,
podcast at AO. Oh God, at AOTH podcast
on Twitter.
But just go to sodebonair.com. You can just click on the Twitter little icon. It'll take you there. All
right.
The interview I did was for It's called justbeinganthony.com.
Just Being Anthony.
So, he actually has some really good topics, which I told Dwayne, I was like, I really want to talk about some of this stuff that's on this blog. We just got another inquiry about doing another interview. So the podcast is done with us.
And we appreciate every last one of you for it.
And whoever Tina is who referred us to this interview, I appreciate you. I know who Tina is.
Shout out to Tina if you're listening. We appreciate you. Thank you. Shout out to Jesse Music, who's in the room. We appreciate you for hanging out with us. And I think that's it. Make sure you like, subscribe, share, and we will see you guys on the flip side.
Follow us on all platforms at Affairs of the Heart. If you want to email us, it's the Affairs of the Heart. Something else has the in it.
Facebook?
No, Facebook has Affairs of the Heart. Oh, Instagram is the Affairs of the Heart. Is it?
Is it? Are you good?
Something else has the Affairs of the Heart. I think Instagram is the Affairs of the Heart. Yeah, Instagram is the Affairs of the Heart. Facebook is Affairs of the Heart. And then Twitter is AOTH Podcast.
AOTH Podcast on Twitter. Got it.
So follow. And if you just get confused with all that, just click the So Debonair.
I think at the end of these, we're just going to say go to SoDebonair.com and you can find us on all social media platforms.
That'll and if make you it wanna so just, much easier. Yeah, if you want to follow me on social media, follow me at SoDebonair. That's Debonair with no O.
And if you want to follow me, you can find me on Facebook at Dwayne Queen or Instagram at Dwayne Q or Twitter, Dwayne Q or D-Weezy. Again, this has been Affairs of the Heart with Aaron and Dwayne. Peace out.
Bye.